Cradio, nourishing the soul of the digital generation.
Well, maybe I should start by setting the scene, because
okay.
I'm in the back of a small four-wheel drive being driven by Father Anthony Casamento, sitting next to Father Robert Barron, who's maybe 6 foot tall, are you?
How about that, yeah.
Yeah. And we're flying across Sydney. You've just had an interview with X-T3, and now you're going to meet your film crew at Lady Macquarie's chair.
Right.
So that's the scene. And my heart goes out to you, so I was going to give you a gift after this, but I'll give it to you now. Yeah, this is a packet of Tim Tams.
Yes, I love Tim Tams.
And actually,
I had some yesterday.
It was actually two for one.
Wow.
So
you had... I learned about these. You're supposed to bite off one end and bite off the other end, and then you kind of draw milk through them. Did you ever hear that? So that's how you eat a Tim Tam. It's a Tim Tam explosion, it's called.
You can do that. Also, there's only 11 in a pack, which is impossible to divide. Unless you have 11 people.
No, the staff deserves none of them, so I'm gonna take them all.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Good, well, enjoy them.
Thank you. That's a great gift.
I'll bet. Father Barron, it's a real honor to be with you today. I've been watching your videos for about 2 years now.
Oh, good. Thank you.
It's good to see you in person rather than through a computer screen.
Yeah.
The first video of yours I saw was... The comment you made about Anne Rice leaving Christianity.
Oh, yeah.
Anne Rice is a best-selling vampire novelist who converted back to her Catholic faith in 1998 after many years of atheism, and she ended up writing several very profound books about Jesus. But at the time you made the video, she just decided to keep following Christ but leave Christianity. And you said, from a strictly theological standpoint, that's not so much wrong as impossible. So could you talk to that a bit more now?
Yeah, you're right. That's the central point of my argument, that Christ is available precisely in his mystical body, the church, and that's by his own will, his own desire. So you can't separate Christ out from the church, as though the church is simply some flawed, fallen, human institution, and then you have Jesus sort of hovering above it. Jesus is available precisely in his mystical body, the church, and the Bible is so insistent upon that. Paul is so insistent upon it. And so that's what I was urging, was that she's trying to do something which, strictly speaking, you can't do. Now, that's a Catholic sensibility. A more Protestant sensibility would say, well, yeah, you can do that, because the church tends to be construed as more of a human institution, and you can find Christ apart from it. But Catholics feel that's just impossible. So proposing what she was trying to do is just illogical.
And I was also curious to ask if Anne Rice ever did contact you after that.
She did, indirectly, where she actually put that little video up on her website.
She did, so she saw it.
She did, and she said, though I don't agree with Father Barron, I think it's a very, helpful and sort of measured response. Her website some years ago, she had references to a couple books of mine, so I've never met her, and I've never talked to her, but I appreciate her, her interest in what I'm doing, and she was open-minded enough to put it up on her website.
Okay, well, that's good. The next question I was going to ask you is about Thomas Aquinas.
Oh, good.
one of my friends who is very learned in regards to Thomas Aquinas said that he thinks all the world's problems today would be solved if people were more acquainted with Thomas Aquinas. What do you reckon about that?
Well, I wouldn't say all the problems of the world. Thomas wouldn't say a lot about computers, I suppose, or TV cameras. But I'm behind him at the fundamental level. In fact, I'm saying these words on March the 7th, and this is the anniversary of Thomas's death. It was the old feast day of Thomas Aquinas up until very recent years. Now it's January 28th, but it was March the 7th for many, many centuries. Thomas is a touchstone figure. He's called the Doctor Communis for us, the common doctor. And that's what I think your friend is getting at. There's something just fundamental about him, and he's a touchstone for so many interesting questions. So I'm with him largely on that. Thomas is indispensable. One of the tragedies, in my judgment, in the post-conciliar period was we bracketed Thomas. Thomas was so important for Catholic thinking prior to the Council. And then for me, inexplicably, after the Council, we kind of bracketed him. Even though, look at the great Council figures, from de Lubac to Rahner, and the rest of them are deeply indebted to Thomas Aquinas. So I say yes on the old feast day of Thomas. Let's bring him back.
Okay. Speaking of council fathers, I have a question indirectly related to Garrigou Lagrange.
Okay.
There's apparently the best or the finest Australian Thomist was Dr. Austin Woodbury. And I was just going to ask, since you're so well read if you've ever read any of his writings, or if you were
familiar. What's his name again? Austin?
Austin Woodbury.
I don't think so. No.
He was a Marist priest. Okay. But that was just a question out of curiosity.
That's
so
right.
My next question was, I'm always struck by how happy you seem, at least in your videos. And I was wondering if there's a secret to your... even when you talk about such depressing things sometimes,
yeah,
you still kind of have a little grin on your face. And I'm just wondering, where does that come from? And have you always had that?
It comes from a lot of drinking. No, thank you for that. I hope that's true. I guess I'm with Chesterton, you know, that the best way to announce the gospel is to do it through joy, is to show people that it's a joyful life. I guess I've always had kind of a basically happy disposition, but I think there's also something theologically important there, that as you announce the faith, you do it with joy. If we simply come across as finger wagging and scolding moralizers, we're not going to attract many people. You might be right, you know, you might be right about the issue you're pursuing, but you won't be too attractive. That's why I love Cardinal Dolan of New York, you know, who I think is the most joyful evangelist on the scene today. People are first attracted by his joy, and then they want to find out where it comes from. So I tend to move that way, you know. I don't know if there's a secret, you know, to it. I think they say that the sign of the Holy Spirit being in you is joy. That's the indicator of the Holy Spirit. So I hope that's true.
Okay. I also really enjoy reading comments that atheists put underneath your YouTube videos. And I'm wondering, have you ever had a really stern atheist convert after being on your website?
You know, I think, yes. I've heard of that, in some cases, indirectly. People will say, you know, there's a guy that was really ferociously atheist, but, you know, he saw a video of yours and it made a difference. So I have heard that. It's very difficult when you're on, let's say, YouTube and you're arguing with somebody. They hardly ever say, you know, you're right. Yeah, there is a God, and I believe. So you're not going to run across that. But I have had indications, yes, of people that have been changed. I know a lot of people, not so much for my videos, just who finally come across an Aquinas or one of the great minds, and they say, well, yeah, that's compelling. That's right. And those are wonderful moments, because... You know, one of my pet peeves is the new atheists are going after a straw god, if I can put it that way. They're knocking down this really phony, idolatrous image of God that has little to do with what serious people mean when they say God. So that's often a very important ground-clearing moment when you say, well, let's just be clear about what we do and don't mean by God.
Yeah.
But I've enjoyed, actually, those battles I've had with the new atheists. You know, it's a good way to just get people engaged in the religious question.
And I find those videos seem to be the ones that have the most hits.
For the most comments, certainly, yeah, because they love to get involved and argue.
You know, I have actually seen you once before, but I was too far away to be able to shout out to you.
Yep.
And that was on May the 1st last year at the beatification of John Paul II.
Oh, is that right?
I saw you up the back there on the stand with NBC in the media section.
And what were you doing there? Were you there just...
I was in a pilgrimage.
Yeah, well, that's great. That was a wonderful moment, wonderful event.
Yeah.
The only drawback was we were up there in that booth, and then the crowds simply closed in around us.
Right.
And the day before, when they were getting us ready, they said, now, there are little porta-potties just over there can use. Well, we couldn't use them. So we were there for literally about 8 hours, just stuck on that platform.
Goodness.
But that aside, it was a very powerful, moving event.
Okay. So you were ordained in 1986?
That's right.
So you must have entered the seminary about the time John Paul II.
Yeah.
So what role has he played in your... Well, in your priesthood and in your life.
A huge role. And though you're right in suggesting it was kind of slow developing, you know, so I entered the seminary in 82, the major seminary. I entered the college seminary in 79. In fact, the fall, it wasn't 78, I guess, the fall when John Paul was elected, I entered the college seminary. So at that time, you know, we didn't know John Paul. He just suddenly appeared on the scene. And it's something that happened gradually as we began to listen to him and then to read him. And then to watch him. So I would say in the course of my priesthood, he began to have a very strong influence on me. Not so much in the very beginning, the seminary years. We didn't know him well enough. you're too young to remember this, but he was called John Paul Superstar when he first arrived because he was so charismatic and, you know. But in the course of my priesthood, yes, he had a very profound impact on me.
Okay. I was also going to ask, yes, I think Australian culture is perhaps slightly different to American. We tend to maybe be a bit more laid back, and we have a good dosage of the tall poppy syndrome. I actually went to Oklahoma last December, and I found, you know, Americans are very, I don't know, they have a lot of energy and they're kind of buzzing. Have you noticed any difference? You've only been here a little while, but does that play out in the church at all, do you think, the different character of the people?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to see. I've just been here for a couple of days. I mean, I say this not to flatter Australians. It's simply true that my experience so far has been the warmth and friendliness of the Australian people that I've met and dealt with. I've always heard that about Australians. It's been true in my experience here. But I guess I wouldn't presume to comment much beyond that. I just haven't been able to take in sure. as much of it.
Okay. Well, maybe there's one more question I can ask you relating to Australia, and that's I know you're a massive baseball fan. I'm just wondering if you've had the chance to catch any cricket.
No, but on TV I did. In fact, at the end of these long days, I go back to my hotel and just kind of crash, you know. I turn the TV on, and I enjoyed watching rugby, which I kind of understand. It's like football, American football. And then cricket, which is a lot like baseball. It's the grandfather of baseball. So I don't entirely get it. I was trying to figure out the rules and what they're doing. But I did. I enjoyed watching it a lot. Especially the wicket, right? The sticky wicket. And then when you pitch on that and you try to bounce it into the guy and then he hits it. But I'm still trying to figure out what exactly is going on. Which actually I like to do when I watch a new sport. Is like, can I on my own figure this out?
Right.
So I've been doing that and I have been enjoying watching it.
Oh, that's good to hear. I'm sure our listeners will be glad to hear it. Well, that's all my questions for today, unless there's anything else you'd very
That's all
much
you got
like.
For me? Those are all the questions?
Oh, I can ask you
I'm
more.
I'm teasing you. No, okay. It was great. Thank you. It was great to be with you.
Oh, that's good. Well, yeah, thank you very much, Father Robert Barron.
You're welcome. You're welcome. God bless you.
God bless.
Cradio, nourishing the soul of the digital generation.